All right, be turning to Acts chapter 2. Y'all recall the emergency broadcast system? If you're as old as I am, you know that, right? Be the We interrupt our program to bring you this important message, then beep the important message. Now back to your regular programming. Well, your regular programming, follow me, our walk through Luke's gospel will return in 2 weeks. First, we're going to do the state of the church, and this year we're going to do it in two parts because God has laid some things on my heart. And so I just pray that you would be praying for me, because this week was the hardest week I had as your pastor. So we're going to look at today what is a healthy church. One of the number one reasons folks come to see me, you know what it is? A checkup. And some insurances are actually mandating them. Why would the insurance pay for a checkup? Because they know it's essential to physical health, right? There's two things about a checkup. One, we overestimate our health. 225 pounds when I got on the scales at the house this morning, now is 250 pounds at my office. And 5 minutes of exercise one time a week becomes 15 minutes of exercise four times a week when I ask people. And the second thing is numbers don't lie. The scale, my stethoscope, your blood pressure, your cholesterol, I can't put a positive spin. As I told some of the guys this morning at our men's breakfast, I told one person this past week, said, looked like you had a good holidays. You gained 15 pounds since I saw you last. There's no positive spin on that, and there's no positive spin on your cholesterol is 280. The numbers don't lie. You know that checkups are likewise essential to our spiritual health? 2 Corinthians 13:5, Paul says to examine yourself. We should do that as individuals, and we should do it as church. And you know there's two things about spiritual checkups. We overestimate our health. We think we pray, read, attend, and really do, and live more for Christ than we really a lot of times do. And two is numbers don't lie. Church can go on about the business saying we're fine. The scale and the total cholesterol can say differently. There's a recent Lifeway research study that said in the next 7 years, 55,000 churches in the U.S. will close their doors. Only 20% are growing, and only 1% are growing by reaching lost people. So could some preventative medicine, a spiritual checkup, have avoided such disease or death? Yeah. It's why the New Testament really puts more emphasis on church health than it does on church growth. And so every church should get a good spiritual checkup, and that's what we're going to do today. And I'm going to point out to you that the key to church health is that it is biblical and balanced.
Amen.
If you want to write that down, it is biblical and it is balanced. And so we're going to look at this morning what is a healthy church, and next week we're going to look at how healthy is our church. Why would we go with one before two? Because Vince Lombardi's Green Bay Packers are going to play today, and Vince Lombardi was famous for doing this. Grown men who had been playing football for 15 years, this is how he started training camp. He held out a football and he said, "Gentlemen, this is a football." And so I want to hold out to you and say, ladies and gentlemen, this is a church. Because a lot of you have in your mind, this is a church and it's your idea and it ain't God's idea. I don't care what you think. I don't care what the Southern Baptist tradition or our president says. I care about what God says in His Word. And so if we want to answer how healthy is Crossway, we got to say, well, what is a healthy church to begin with? And again, like I said, it's biblical and it's balanced. Stand with me and honor the reading of God's Word, Acts chapter 2. Verses 42 to 47. And as we read this, I'm going to ask you some questions. And I want you to think as we're reading. And they, that's you, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Y'all devoted to my teaching? I'm not an apostle, but are you devoted to it? And the fellowship. Are you truly, honestly, search your heart, devoted to the fellowship of this church? And I don't mean you show up at New Year's Eve game night. Are you fellowshipping with the brothers and sisters in this church? The road goes both ways. To the breaking of bread, that's coming together here in worship, and the prayers. If I held a prayer service at 9 o'clock on Friday night, how many of you'd show up? And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. Do we have all things in common? Are we unified? Not around Buffy Cook, but around Jesus Christ. Amen. I've told y'all before, people say, well, I heard you got your church. No, I didn't. This is not my church. I did not bleed and die for it. Jesus Christ did, and some of you need to get your eyes off of the people beside you or that are in leadership and get your eyes on Christ. Yeah. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. If I was broke tomorrow and bankrupt, would y'all sell your stuff to come help me? Well, if Billy was, would you? And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad, generous hearts. Do we do that? When's the last time you had a meal in this church with somebody you don't know? Hashtag mic drop. Let's just go and go home. They received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Let's pray. Father, I come to you today. Honestly broken. Broken for a people that 3 years ago you gave me a love for, and I still have a love for. A love too deep to stand up here and play games. Too deep. Stand up here and give them some help. Self-help, pop psychology. Father, help me preach your word to your people that we can glorify your precious Son. Because it's only because of him that it is well with my soul. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to look at church health, biblical and balance. We're going to start with biblical, and we're going to look at what that means congregationally. So first we have to establish three things. One is the nature of the church. The church is invisible yet visible. What I mean by that? Well, invisible is the church as God sees it. You see, I can't see your heart, and I don't know if you really truly are saved. I can see your attendance, and I can see some outward evidence, but only God sees people's hearts. And before you go start judging people, why don't you understand that 2 Timothy 2:19 says the Lord knows who are His, and why don't you give people the benefit of the doubt? Do they look a certain way, and so you say, well, that person, they just ain't saved, or they're beyond being saved. Only God knows true believers with certain and without error. So that's the invisible church. The visible church is the church as you and I as Christians on earth see it. That's all who profess faith in Christ and give evidence of that in their lives. Not just lip service, but leg service. They walk it out and they not just talk it out. And so when Paul writes to churches, that's who he's writing to is the visible church. But he knew that that would include some unbelievers. It always has. And it always is going to. Turn to Acts 20. Flip ahead there. Acts 20. When you're there, say, I am.
I am.
29 to 30. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in, how? Among you. Not sparing the flock, and from where? Among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Jesus warned of the same thing in Matthew chapter 7. The Sermon on the Mount. Marty brought us message on that this morning from the Sermon on the Mount. If you're looking for something to read in your devotion time, you can't go wrong with the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount. Amen?
Amen.
Verses 15 and 16, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothes, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You'll recognize them by their fruits." Augustine famously said this, "Many sheep are without and many wolves are within." So there's a lot of people that don't come to church, and can they be saved? Yes. Should they be in church? Yes. But there's also a lot of wolves that are within. The danger becomes, though, if we become overly suspicious about people and then we start questioning their salvation. That's not my job to do. You don't run around ripping up the tares. Jesus gave that illustration of wheat and tares. And they said, "Should we go and tear these up?" He said, "No, let them grow together." But that doesn't mean we tolerate people that are openly, publicly unbelievers. Because Paul said, you got a man in your church that has sexual immorality of stuff that even the Gentiles don't do. Get him out. You know what you do with cancer? You don't let it just keep growing. You get it out. And so sometimes that may be necessary. So the church is invisible but yet visible, and it's local and universal. In the New Testament, the word church, it can mean anything from a house church to a whole city, to a whole region, to the entire world. So the church is all of us on the planet right now, right? But then there is a church which is local. God calls you to be a member of and submit to not the church, but a church. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13. God is not calling you to sit under John Hagee's teaching. He's called you to sit under a local church wherever you decide to be. Hebrews 13:17. "Obey your leaders and submit to them." Well, who is your? The ones in a church, not the church. A church that you have committed to and submitted to. He says, obey them and submit them. Why should you obey and submit me? Because I'm something fantastic or special? No. Because God has called me, Buffy Cook, to be the pastor of Crossway Baptist Church. You know why I'm standing up here? Because I'm the pastor. And you know what He's also called me to do? Keep watch over your souls as one who is going to have to give an account.
That's right.
It's a burdensome task, brothers and sisters, to oversee 50 souls. And so the same way God's not given the task of shepherding and feeding the church as a whole in Covenant, the Big Hatchie Baptist Association, Tennessee, the USA, the world, to Jimmy and I, but right here locally at Crossway Baptist Church. And so one other passage to look at, 1 Thessalonians 5. We ask you, brothers, to respect those, or your translation may say, no, those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and you to esteem them very highly in love because of their work, be at peace among yourselves. And so do you, the members, know and esteem me? How well do you know me? How well have you sought out to know me? How much do you esteem me? And me likewise, how much do I labor for you? That word literally means to the point of exhaustion. Those who know me well know that I've been there. Done that, got the t-shirt. And oversee and admonish you. That's a healthy church. When the people know and esteem the pastor, and the pastor works to the point of exhaustion to oversee and teach them the Word of God. That's a healthy church. But there's more. The marks of a church. So that's the nature of the church, the marks of the church. There's true churches and false churches. The Augsburg Confession in 1530 defined the church as this: the congregation of saints in which the gospel is rightly taught and the sacraments rightly administered. So a true church is two things. The word of God is rightly taught, and number two, the sacraments are rightly administered. That is why Jimmy and I have put so much emphasis on this. Number one, that the gospel is rightly taught, that we have taught it on Wednesday night, that we are careful to present it to you in a biblical manner every Sunday morning, that the Word of God is purely preached, that we don't get up here with self-help pop psychology and tell you Joe Osteen stuff and Oprah Winfrey stuff. We read you the Word of God and preach through a book because that's what you need. And number two, the sacraments are rightly administered. The Lord's Supper. Jimmy preached a message on the Lord's Supper. We constantly say, prepare yourselves. We tell you ahead of time. Don't take it unworthily. Baptism. I preached a message on biblical baptism. We discuss it with candidates. We don't just say, oh, you want to come get baptized? Hey, let's go dunk you right now. And we're not even going to tell you anything about what it means to really be baptized and live the Christian life. So if you ever leave, be sure you go to a true church, because there's false churches everywhere, and the label on the door, be it Baptist or otherwise, don't mean it's true.
That's right.
Next is the purposes of the church. We see these in Acts 2. Three things. I didn't put all of this, I think, on, or I may have, I can't even remember. Three things: ministry to God, ministry to believers, and ministry to the world. You can think of the purpose of the church. Why does Crossway Baptist Church exist? There you go. First, ministry to God. Worship. In relationship to God, it's the purpose of the church to worship Him. And as Trent so pointedly pointed out, it does not mean you just come and sing a song on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Worship is a lifestyle. I mean, look back at Acts 2. Look at what it says. The breaking of bread. They were at the church together, breaking bread. That's talking about the Lord's Supper. They were praying together. That don't mean that they just did it on Sunday morning or Wednesday night. Attending the temple together, praising God. And part of that attending the temple together, they were there sharing the gospel, is what they were doing. That's worshiping the Lord. The word worship means to assign weight to. Do you think Christ is worthy?
Amen.
Then tell people about Him. That's a form of worship. And so Paul directs the church to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God in Colossians 3:16. And he desires more than you just flip a 20 off in the plate and be on about your business, that you constantly be offering up a sacrifice of praise to Him. In Hebrews 13:15, it says, through Him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge His name. He'd rather you do that than just flip a 20 in the plate. So ministry to God, worship. Second is ministry to believers, nurture. The church has an obligation to nurture those who are already believers and build them up to maturity. If you remember when I came here and was interviewed by the pastor search committee, what did I tell you? I'm going to ask this until somebody can give me what was the verse that I said was my goal for Crossway Baptist Church. People want to say, well, we ought to do this. This is the direction that the church ought to go, and this is the direction that the church ought to go. What did I tell you? Who knows? Any of you? What was the verse I said in that pastor search committee was my goal for Crossway Baptist Church, the direction that I was taking it? Colossians 1:28. You better write it down for the next time when I ask you. So I'm going to ask God to rain down fire, hell, and brimstone on you if you don't know it. I'm just kidding.
Thank you,
brother. Present every man mature in Christ. And that means you're going to have to do some stuff and listen to some stuff from the Word of God that you don't like.
Mm-hmm.
And raising up my kids, youth was... Did you always like what I had to tell you, dear?
No.
In fact, y'all couldn't remember that verse, but I bet you she knows this. What did I always say, Miranda? We're not always going to...
like each other, but we're always going to love each other.
Amen.
We ain't always going to like each other, but we always going to love each other. And some of us in here need to listen to that as brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen.
Well, where did Paul get that from? The Great Commission. Because he said, make disciples, not converts or baptizees. I don't care if it's the president of our Southern Baptist Convention, it's David Platt, it's the president of IMB. I don't care who comes and says it and worry about how many baptizees we got. I ain't worried about baptizees. I'm worried about disciples. I'm worried about whether you not just got dunked down in the water, but if your whole self has been immersed in Christ and living for Him. Well, how does that occur? Teaching. But, you know, we don't just teach to be this. Pillsbury Doughboy Christians. You know Pillsbury Doughboy? He's all blowed up. Knowledge puffs up, don't it? That's what the Word says. And so you don't just pour a bunch of knowledge into folks that then they get all Pillsbury Doughboy Christians and they can't even hardly move or walk around. You live it out. Remember what I preached New Year's Day. Clothe yourselves with Christ. Put on the new man. And I said the ins and the outs. The way we did that was what? In community. How do you make disciples? In community. You discipleship and fellowship together. In big groups on Sunday morning. In small groups in your homes. How many of us are doing that? When was the last time a small group of you in here, you know, I love impact. You know why? Because it says be an example to the other folks who ain't doing what they need to really be doing. And so you got the college and career class that's going and fellowshipping and ice skating together. When's the last time any of y'all got together and said, hey, we're going to have a fellowship? And I don't know Joe Blow over here in the pew, but I want to know him a little bit better, so I want to invite him, not just the folks that I look like or I already know.
That's right.
We're going to be biblical, then let's get biblical. Same we see in Acts 2, the apostles teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, selling and distributing and breaking bread in their homes. How does this work itself out, the teaching? One is elders. True biblical church is elder run. We'll get there eventually, but I done upset the apple cart enough. I'm not cuckoo. Brother Charles told me don't change anything the first year. I didn't. And then when I did start changing, it's people bucking. But we'll get there eventually. But it's everyone. Look at Hebrews chapter 3. Whose responsibility is it in this church to teach the believers? Is it mine?
Yes.
Is it Cassie's?
Yes.
It's everybody's. Is it Jennifer's? Yes. Hebrews 3:12-13. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And then the other E, so elders, everyone, and then environment. Jesus said simply this, love one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, encourage one another and build each other up. Hebrews 10:24-25 says, you gather together, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves. Well, why? Because you need to spur one another on to love and good works. And Galatians 6:2 says, you need to bear one another's burdens. Is that the kind of environment that is present at Crossways so spiritual life can flourish? And are you being a part of the solution or the problem? Next is the ministry to world, evangelism and mercy. Jesus told His disciples, go and make disciples of all nations, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. That is our primary ministry toward the world. Okay? Accompanying that is the ministry of mercy, caring for the poor and needy in the name of the Lord, inside and outside the church. It is not, listen to me, it is not mercy or mission. It is both and. If you think that mercy work is not important in the church, reaching out to the world, then come on up here with your Bible and expound for me Matthew 25:34-40. Come on. Expound to me James 1:27. That's why I ask people. What have I asked them, Marty? You've heard it. Can you be used on a mission trip? Noah, you've heard it. What I ask them. Can you hold a baby? You know why I ask them that? Because James says pure and undefiled religion. Fooey with what you say is your religion. Here it is that you will visit widows and orphans in their affliction. If mercy work ain't important, then come on up here, get your Bible, and expound for me these two passages, and I'll go sit down and shut up. So in a nutshell, a healthy church is one that's growing stronger through worship, warmer through fellowship, deeper through discipleship, broader through ministry, and larger through evangelism, and this is where you come in. The current model of individual involvement in the body of Christ is literally upside down. Because the way that it goes is you've got the congregation, then you've got staff, leaders, and all the weight of everything is on the pastor. Well, did the lights get cut off? I don't know. Did the pastor do it? Did the pancakes get made for the breakfast? I don't know. Did the pastor do it? Did the floor get swept? I don't know. Did the pastor do it? Half the time, that's what ends up having to be done. And so this is what you've got. Discouraged leaders. Distance members that just show up and attend. And a diseased body. The biblical model in Ephesians 4:11 through 13 is that I train you up for you to do the work of the ministry. It is not right for me to leave tables or to leave the pulpit and leave my study of the Word and go serve tables. That's what the Word says, folks. And so the weight of everything shouldn't be on me. The weight of everything should be on you. I've said it before. Every member of Crossway should be what? A minister. J.D. Greer said this. He said when he became a pastor, he left the ministry. How's that? Because it's not his responsibility to go out and take care of tables. And I want to ask you, brothers and sisters, let's get honest with ourselves. Which of these represents Crossway Baptist Church? Which one represents Crossway Baptist Church? The work of the ministry is largely on the pastor, it's largely on the congregation. Can't even get people to sit up in the sound booth. I got to go in the sound booth and get the stuff ready. If we're honest, it's really the first one. Do you have a ministry inside Crossway? Are you helping or hindering the growth? If you don't have one, then why not? Have you availed yourself of being equipped by Jimmy and myself? How do you see yourself? An attender or a contributor? If I have failed you, please come tell me and I'll help you. And that's why the theme and the goal is we want to look at next week for 2017 that Jimmy and I are going to roll out to y'all is this. One word, simple, equip. Equip every member to be a minister. Why do you think God has given you a pastor to do it all? No. In 1 Peter 5, 1-3, it says in part that He has given you a pastor to be an example. I had someone tell me yesterday, I have seen you sweep the floor, Buffy Cook. I have seen you mop the floor, Buffy Cook. If I am the God-ordained man that God has called to be here at Crossway Baptist Church to not just bring you the Word, but to be an example to you, and I'm willing as a pastor to sweep the floor, why can't you? Why do you think your only responsibility is to show up and consume and not contribute? All right, church health balanced. Congregationally and individually. Healthy churches balance all three ministries. We can't neglect one or the other. And you got to guard against putting one primary. If all we had was worship, then you don't have any Bible teaching and you got diseased, immature Christians. If it's only just nurturing in believers. Then we got the big Pillsbury Doughboy Christians, like I talked about. And the body's diseased. If there's no evangelism and mercy, then you got pancake Christians that are diseased as well. When I came to Crossway Baptist Church in 2013, these three were not in balance. And I do not say that to try and puff myself up, but those that I have talked to, they affirm that that is true and that it has been different. Think about it. When I first came, we had no worship leader. There was minimal worship opportunities outside of Sunday morning. Discipleship was three small groups. Discipleship training was 5 o'clock on Sunday, and we had five folks that would show up. And Chuck would teach us faithfully. No kids. Hadn't had VBS in 5 years. Giving to mercy and mission was a small part of the budget. Hadn't had an international mission trip since the church was established in 2003. Since then, the balance is better. We got a worship leader. We added opportunities, Stations of the Cross, Candlelight Service, Impact, Wednesday night for kids and youth. We've expanded discipleship, 3 groups to 15. We've got children, Children's Moment, the Youth of Flourish. Had a conference here this weekend. Wednesday night, it's not just prayer, but it's meals and teaching and lots of people showing up. Fellowship with Baptist Church, that ain't never a problem, right? You ain't got to address fellowship in a Baptist church. They got that down pat. But we've done Acts 1:8, 5th Sunday offerings, Christmas offering, 3 international trips. Are we perfect? No. But then individually, here's where it comes, is that individually people will donate or be involved with primarily one thing that they have been gifted to. And so the worship leader may spend the vast majority of his time doing worship stuff. It doesn't mean he doesn't participate in missions, and it doesn't mean he may not teach a class, but most of his time is going to be spent in that. Where the church gets unbiblical and out of balance is when we fail to live out 1 Corinthians 12, either the members exclude the body or the body excludes the members. And forgive me if I go long, but I feel that this Lord has laid this on my heart. And as I said, I may be out of time here in a minute, but I'm not going to be out of sermon. Go home and read 1 Corinthians 12. But Paul says, can the eye say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head say to the foot, I don't need you? This is a little parable that I thought was awesome from Mark Dever's book, What is a Healthy Church? Listen to this. Nose and hand were sitting in the church pew talking. The morning service, led by ear and mouth, had just ended, and Hand was telling Nose he and his family had decided to look for a different church. Really? Nose responded to Hand's news. Why? Oh, I don't know, Hand said, looking down. He's slower to speak than other members of the church, because he ain't got a tongue. I guess because the church doesn't have what Miss Hand and I are looking for. Well, what are you looking for in a church? Nose asked. The tone in which he spoke was sympathetic, but he knew he was already going to dismiss his answer. If the hands couldn't see, the Nose and the rest of the leadership were pointing the church body in the right direction, the body could do without them. Hand had to think before answering. He and Miss Hand liked Pastor Mouth and his family, and Minister of Music Ear meant well. Well, I guess we're looking for a place where people are more like us, Hand stammered. We tried spending time with the legs, but we didn't really connect with them. Next, we joined the small group for all the toes, but all they kept talking about was socks and shoes and odors, and that didn't interest us. Nose looked at him with genuine dismay. Aren't you glad they're concerned with odors? Well, sure, but it's not for us. Then we attended Sunday school for all you facial features. You remember that? We came for several Sundays a couple months ago. Yeah, it was great to have you. Thank you. But everybody just wanted to talk and listen, smell, and taste. It felt like, well, you know, you never want to get your work and your hands dirty. Anyway, Miss Hand and I were thinking about checking out that new church over on East Side. They do a lot of clapping and hand raising, which is really what we need right now. I see what you mean. We'd hate to see you go, but I guess you have to do what's good for you. At that moment, Miss Hand, who had been caught up in another conversation, came back. Hand briefly explained what they'd been talking about, and she was sad at the prospect of losing the hands, but said he understood since it sounded like their needs weren't being met. Miss Hand nodded in agreement, wanted to be polite. But really, you know, these no's, they just made her, you know, want to clap. But she had heard her husband be so negative for so long that maybe these things were true. The small groups were a little quickish. The music was a little out of date. The programs did seem a little silly. The teaching wasn't entirely to their liking. In addition to that, Miss Hand knew their daughter Pinky was not comfortable with the youth group. Everyone was so different from her, she felt out of joint. She then said something about how much she appreciated those in the leadership. The conversation already run on too long, besides the perfume made him want to sneeze. Thanked Miss Hand for encouragement. Repeated, sorry to hear their departure. Turned and walked away. Who needed the hands? They didn't need them. And so, do a lot of folks in a lot of churches need to repent based on that parable? Yeah. Maybe even some at Crossway. Maybe your pastor needs to do a little repentance too. You see, as hard as I have worked to the point of exhaustion to bring biblicalness and balance to Crossway, maybe I at times have been blinded by my own gifting. And maybe I've felt, made some people feel excluded. If that's the case, I pray you'll forgive me. I pray, second, though, you will really understand. And I have said this, and I don't think some of you have listened very well. I in no way am asking every person to get a passport and leave tomorrow for Africa. I'm your pastor, and I'm your word of authority. And if you don't know, then you have not listened, because my own wife recited yesterday the four commandments that I have given y'all as a church. Pray, give, go, don't. Everybody can pray, and everybody can give. I have said not everybody can go. Some of you have misunderstood my words, and you've misunderstood the direction in which I'm taking the church, which is to make every man mature in Christ. And that means some of you do need to get across the road and share the gospel with your neighbor, and some of you do need to get a passport and go somewhere international. It's going to require us, brothers and sisters, if we really, really, if that's really your heart desire, that I really want to live for my Lord, that is going to require you to get out of your comfort zone. And it's going to be, like I talked with these young men yesterday, it's going to cost you something. What is the cost of Christianity? I gave them different things, and they won some pictures of iPhone 7 Plus and Dodge Chargers and all that, and I held up Christianity, and they all said exactly what I wanted to lead them to. They all said Christianity is free. No, it is not. Salvation is free. Discipleship will cost you your whole life.
That's right.
And so if a patient comes in the emergency room and they're dying with a heart attack and they've got gout, and in their last two breaths are going, "Doc, what are you going to do about my gout?" I'm thinking, I don't care about your gout. I'm worried about your heart. And so most Baptist churches, you don't really have to come in and fix the worship. And you don't really have to come in and fix the fellowship, because everybody's got a casserole, right? What you got to fix is the discipleship and the missions, because those are the things we don't do well. And sometimes it may seem you're overemphasizing those things, but they're the ones that are causing a heart attack in the church. So what? So what? Dr. Easley always asks us, Cassie hadn't been in that class yet, but hopefully soon she will. He always leads us to get our congregation to ask, so what? What does this even matter to me? Have you ever thought about what you're looking for in a church? You thought about it lately? No church is perfect. And like I said, if it is, please don't join it, because you will mess it up. What there is there's more pure churches and less pure churches. And so what's the ideal church look like? And so here's what we'll then do. Well, to me, it's beautiful music. Well, what's that? Well, I want guitars. Well, no, I don't want guitars. Well, I want a choir, and I want a full-blown orchestra. Well, I don't want that stuff. Well, I want what's contemporary. Well, I don't want that. I want hymns. Well, how about the preaching? Well, I want a good sermon, man. I want some of them toe-crushing sermons. I got to wear my steel-toed boots in there. Well, no, I want some that ain't too heavy-handed. Well, how do you want the man behind the pulpit to be? Do you want him to be an intent scholar and give you every Greek word? Do you want him to be funny? Do you want him to be the family counselor? How about the sheeple? I want them to be at the same place in life as I am. You know, people that got kids, and I don't know, I want some that are nearing retirement. I like the ones that hunt and fish. I like the ones that like the country. What about opportunities? Well, places to serve, do good. I want a church that's big on missions or evangelism. No, I want it to be big on helping the poor or the kids' ministry. I want one that's alive to the Spirit. I am sick and tired of those spirit quenchers, frozen chosen, man. I want to be somewhere where they're jumping up and down and they're slapping and carrying on like that. I want one that feels a certain way. It's not too stuffy and not too legalistic. No, I want one that is Baptist all the way. I want the pastor in a King James Version Bible and a full-blown suit. No, I want one that's Baptist but not too Baptist. Maybe he has a nice little iPad and some cool shoes and shorts. You see the problem with that?
It's not all about us.
Amen! Since when are you the center of the universe, number one? And number two, since when are you the center of the church? Jesus Christ is the center of the church.
Amen.
And this is His bride. And I am sick to death of the way some of you are treating His bride. What's all this matter? So what? Because the New Testament writers don't write their letters to the pastors. Come on now! I won't hear somebody say that. When in Galatians 1:6, Paul says, I can't believe that y'all have deserted the gospel already. Who is the you? Y'all. And in 1 Corinthians 5, when he says, take that man and kick him out of the church because he is a cancer, and 14 times he uses you, who's he talking about? Is he talking about Jimmy? Is he talking about me?
Nope.
He's talking about y'all. I read this quote. It said, you and all the members of your church, Christian, are finally responsible before God for what your church becomes. Mm-hmm. Not your pastors and other leaders. Y-O-U. Jimmy and I will stand before God and give an account for how we led Crossway Baptist Church. My brothers and sisters, you will stand and give an account for whether you helped or hindered the health of this body of believers. Whether or not you lived out 1 Thessalonians 5:12 to 13. Some of you need to get off the hindrance train and get on the Help Around Here Express. Some of you need to go back and listen to my first message that I preached at Crossway Baptist Church. Some of you probably don't remember the title of it. How to Start and Stop Church Wars. God has commanded us in the verses that I have read to be at peace with ourselves. And some of you in here are a gallstone, bringing disease into the body with your attitudes and your actions and your words, and it's time to knock it off. Let me go on and tell you, as your pastor, I'm going to call you out from the pulpit if I hear you personally talking bad about this church. Because you are wrong. And you need to repent. Because you may say, well, y'all might not, and you're gossiping with your friend and this and that. Oh, Crossway Baptist Church. No. This ain't Crossway Baptist Church. This is my Lord's bride. And stop it. Knock it off. You need to start saying that this ain't just Crossway Baptist Church at whatever Mount Carmel Road. This precious body of people that I'm in love with and apart because y'all are the precious bride of Christ. Would you ever at a wedding day go up to the bride and kick her in the leg? Would you? Then why do we treat each other the way we do sometimes? In closing, W.C. Robinson in his Baker's Dictionary of Theology said, our Lord Jesus Christ is the Son about which the whole mission of the church revolves. Hashtag not you. Hashtag not me. Listen to these things he says. Public worship. Saw a lady right over here. Young woman raising up her hands when we were singing a while ago. You know why? Because she was having an encounter with the risen Redeemer. Evangelism is calling men to the Savior. publishing the law of God, that's teaching, is proclaiming His Lordship. Christian nurture is feeding His lambs and discipling His flock. Ministering to the needs of man is continuing the work of the great physician. And so the church's mission really can be summarized as this: glorifying God by presenting and representing Jesus to the world. That requires a church that is healthy, because per Acts 2, it is biblical. It's ministering to God, believers in the world, and has effective ministries in all of those. And equally, it requires a church that is healthy, because per 1 Corinthians 12, it is balanced. Congregationally working together to maintain effective ministries in all of these, and individually, every member working together with their different spiritual gift and abilities, and the members not excluding the body, and the body not excluding the members. And so here's the homework. How can you help us here at Crossway accomplish that? Number one, pray. I'll give you three words. Pray. Have you been praying for somebody here at Crossway Baptist Church? If not, why? If not, please get to doing it. I've been trying to pray for members of our church and send them out a text in the morning, first thing, that I've been praying for you. Can you imagine the encouragement you might give to somebody if at 7 o'clock at night you send them a text saying, I just wanted you to know I'm praying for you. Mm-hmm. Anybody in here don't want prayer? You don't need prayer? You're fine? Got a lot of folks to pray for. Two is give. Give of yourself and your time. Please be sure you're here next week to stay the church, part two, so you can see how healthy we are. And then Wednesday night, Jimmy already alluded to it, we're going to go through a study, living as a church. Sometimes you got to get back to the basics, brothers and sisters. Sometimes you got to say, this is a football. Sometimes you got to say, this is a church, and this is how you live together as one. And then live. Live out Acts 2, 1 Corinthians 12, and 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 to 13. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day. But Father, we thank you more importantly for you and your precious Son. Father, if we ever wonder what God looks like, all we got to do is look at your Son. Because the writer of Hebrews says He's the exact copy of Him. And so now, Father, even through the fall and us with broken images, you have called us as the church to reflect to a lost and dying world that image of your Son. And so help each and every one of us see how, Father, we can make Crossway as healthy as it possibly can be. That, Father, we can portray to a world that desperately needs to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, the very exact imprint of God and what He's like, love and wrath. One that loves them but calls them out of their sin to repent. We ask this now in the precious, wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. So as we come to this time of invitation, a lot of times when I witness to patients in the office, this is how I go about it. I say, Mr. Jones, can I ask you a question? Yeah, doc, sure. What is that? He's probably thinking, man, I'm going to have to tell him I don't exercise as much as I told him I do. What must a man do to be right before God? I don't ask him if he goes to church. Don't ask him if he's been baptized, because I don't care about that. And I say, you know, see, I could sit here and treat your sinus infection, and it's going to be back tomorrow. And I can treat your blood pressure, and you can die of a stroke. But brother, if I can be sure that it is well with your soul, you will spend an eternity with Jesus Christ. And that's of eternal good. Whereas a curing a sinus infection ain't. And so as the pastor of your church, I know there's probably some folks here today that are lost and really, truly don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Some of them, because I've had conversations with them. And so I would ask you, is it well with your soul? Jesus said, what's it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose it? So you could be the gym rat of gym rats. It ain't going to do you a hill of beans on Judgment Day. How are you going to stand before Jesus on Judgment Day? That same man I asked that question, he said, oh, well, if it's anybody, it's going to be standing up there right. It's going to be them Pentecostals because they live lives of holiness. And I said, yeah, and Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pentecostals, you ain't going to see the heaven of God, old boy. The only way it is well with my soul is I stand in Jesus' blood and righteousness. To Him alone I cling. That's it. That's what saves a soul. You believe you're a sinner. You believe that Jesus Christ came to this earth. He died on the cross, your death. And He then didn't just stay dead. He came back to life. And He gives the promise to everybody who will put their faith in that work on the cross that one day, just as He walked out of that grave 3 days later, so He'll get you out of that grave one day with a new body that won't ever tear up. Amen. Won't need no stethoscopes. Won't need no Spryzel. Won't need no anti-wrinkle cream. Glory. Hallelujah. But there's only one way it's going to be well with your soul. To stand in the righteousness of Christ. Have you ever put your faith and your trust in Him? Have you ever then really truly shown that you have done it? Because it's evident in your life that you repented of your sins, that you were walking the way of yourself and sin and Satan and the world, and you did a 180 and you said, no, I'm going to start to live for the Lord. If you haven't done that today, as Chuck mentioned this morning, I actually have done you a disfavor because I have brought you under deeper condemnation than you were before you came to this church this morning. So please do not walk out of this church today without the assurance that it is well with your soul because you have believed and repented of your sins through faith in Christ. Let's stand.
We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. O Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. O Lord, we cast down our idols. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. O Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. O Lord, we cast down our idols. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another.